Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and remember our latest crowdsourcing or group journalism project. It's called Are You Being Gouged? We're looking to see what stores and what neighborhoods have the best and worst prices for common items that people eat and drink. Go to your local grocery store and just write down the prices of these three items. You don't have to buy them. Milk, lettuce, and beer. Specifically, a quart of regular whole milk, non-organic, a head of iceberg lettuce, and a six-pack of 12-ounce bottles of Bud. Three very common items. Then post the prices and the store's location on our website at WNYC.org. Again, a quart of regular whole milk, a head of iceberg lettuce, and a six-pack of 12-ounce bottles of Bud. Then post the prices and the store's location on our website at WNYC. And over the next few days, as more than 200 people have already done this, we will figure out, are you being gouged? Well, are you tired of the restaurant scene when you eat but still want to eat out? Are you sorry you missed out on the days of the speakeasies and clandestine bars and restaurants in the 20s? Maybe you and your friends don't have time to cook or room to entertain. Well, here's an idea for you that's also becoming a New York phenomenon, an underground supper club. If you haven't heard about this yet, they're cropping up around town and around the country, and they're not always entirely legal. We are joined now by three guests who run some of these secret, in some cases roving, dining clubs. First, from the New York Bite Club is a guest who will go by the name of Danielle. Next is Nancy from the Whisk and Ladle, now based in Williamsburg. And also joining us is Tamara Reynolds, who offers Sunday night dinner, as she calls it, in Queens. So welcome to WNYC, all of you.
Thank you.
Tamara, welcome back. I understand you shared a fried chicken recipe with our listeners on the 4th of July.
I did.
What was the context of that?
It's this thing that we do every year. We do Edna Lewis's fried chicken recipe, which takes 2 days to make. It's a real luxury anywhere, but especially in New York City, I think. And she was a black woman and a very, very famous chef who died a few years ago. And we also read the Declaration of Independence out loud, along with the Bill of Rights.
Yeah. While eating fried chicken.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We just like to, you know, touch base.
I'm there.
With our roots.
So let's just go around, and maybe each of you could tell us briefly about your club and what it actually is. Danielle, do you want to start?
Sure. We are New York Bite Club. We are a roving supper club open to members. We offer a tasting menu type setting, much the same as something you would see in, say, a Blue Hill or a tasting room restaurant in New York. And that's it.
And is it sort of secret in some way?
It's secret in terms of until the point where you actually get a membership. Once you get a membership, then you're in our loop. You're getting our newsletters. But getting a membership can be a little tricky.
How do you get a membership?
You can go online and fill out a membership form. And if you get a newsletter from us, you're a member. And if you don't, you can keep trying.
All right. Nancy, how about yours?
The Whisk and Ladle is based out of our home, which is in Williamsburg, and we do a sort of traditional five-course dinner, like an old-fashioned dinner party, which is where the idea sprung from, actually. And we do this about twice a month. We also do some other events and private parties, and there's four of us, and it was basically just an idea that came about because we thought this would be really fun and the dinner party is dying.
And how does yours work?
In terms of making reservations?
Yeah.
You can go online to our website. You send us an email and we screen, obviously, to make sure that you're not some nefarious character, someone that we wouldn't want to have in our own home, basically.
But, I mean, you could have a dinner party by just inviting your friends. This is like a commercial thing, right?
I wouldn't say that it's exactly commercial. We like the idea of people that don't know each other getting together around a dinner table and the conversations that commence from that point can be pretty astounding. And it's really interesting to see the mix of different people that gather in the apartment.
So is that what you're really after? Interesting social interaction?
I'd say it's one of the things that we really like about doing it, is seeing the range of ages and different types of people that show up to have dinner. And there's always sort of this awkward moment at the beginning of the night when people are sort of looking around and they don't really know each other. And by the end of the night...
Who talks first?
Who talks first? How do you make conversation? And then by the end of the night, you know, people are exchanging phone numbers and email addresses with each other.
Great. Tamara, how about yours?
That's so interesting because we are not so far apart. Sunday Night Dinner and Whisk and Ladle, it sounds, are perhaps in the same vein. We also operate, my cooking partner Zora and I operate out of either one of our homes. We tend to do it in my home in the summer because I have a backyard, and then her home in the winter because she has a really nice space there. We both live in Astoria, a few blocks from each other. She began a thing called Roving Gastronome in 2001 as sort of a, kind of happened after September 11th. You know, it was hard to go out. Nobody had any money. We were, you know, everybody was freelancing. It was before I knew her. And she would throw these extravagant dinner parties. Just, I mean, like 14-course affairs with, you know, newspapers on the tables and the whole deal. And then she and I met at a restaurant that we worked at downtown. She was working back of the house. I was working front. And we found out we lived in the same neighborhood, and we both loved to cook, and we started cooking together and began just a dinner party for friends. And every week we would cook this dinner party. We would think we were cooking for eight people, and then somehow I would have gone to the butcher five times over, like carrying my own gin and tonic at some points because I just couldn't hack it anymore. And
in a brown paper bag.
No, actually in a glass. If you just walk out of your house with a glass, nobody cares what you're drinking, really. Yeah. You're a hero if you have a gin and tonic.
You look white and middle class. Anyway.
Well, that's probably true. But it became... We couldn't afford it, basically. We couldn't afford to continue feeding all these people. So then we started to ask for donations. And from there, it became sort of almost this quasi-business model where we have a set donation amount that people put into a little metal box called the kitty. And we, you know, everyone is it's on their honor to donate, and they do. Some people give more. Some people give less, depending on their situation. And that way they can ask to bring whoever they want, and I'm free to open it up to strangers and that sort of thing. Our only requirement is that I don't want anyone to ever bring anyone into my home that they wouldn't bring into their own home.
Right. I wonder if anybody out there goes to any of these underground dinner clubs. Call us up if this is within your experience, or if you have any questions for our guests, Danielle from the New York Bite Club, or Nancy from the Whisk and Ladle, or Tamara from the Sunday Night Dinner in Astoria. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. How do you all charge? Danielle?
It's very similar to what Tamara was saying. It's on a donation. When you have a member base, when they are coming to a dinner, they are required to pay a donation. It's not that we're looking to really so much make a profit, but just cover our costs. And the donation can change based on however many courses there are in an evening, you know, what the cost is that you're putting in to the menu that you're creating.
Right. Same answer, Nancy?
Yeah, it's the same. We also have a suggested donation, which is based upon how much we spent on ingredients.
Does that mean it would be cheaper than at a typical restaurant for the same essential meal?
Probably, yes, because at a restaurant, you're also paying for labor. You're paying for the various overhead costs. It's just us in the kitchen. We just want to cover our costs. And people who come generally are pretty amenable to doing that.
Yeah. What's the legal issue here? Who can explain why this is on the margins of the law?
Anytime money changes hands in a private environment that involves food preparation, the health department decides that they need to make sure that you are following all of the food safety rules. And like I have not completed the food safety course. I can say that. That's fine. I don't know if you ladies have, but I mean, we're running afoul of the law in general just because we're taking money and because we may not be certified in food safety.
You don't have a restaurant license.
Exactly.
And, kind of
and we're not subject to regular health health department inspections, et cetera.
So is this like part of the fun that it's a little bit underground and clandestine?
This is part of the stress, I think. I think
I
the fun is we've created this. I mean, I know that New York Bike Club started because we just kept having all these dinner parties for people, and eventually it just sort of snowballed into just weekends and weekends and weekends of dinners, and we started to see, you know, the danger in it, but it's the passion for the cooking, and it's the passion for the food, and it's the passion for the people that keeps you doing it every weekend, and, you know, you hope you're screening your people right, and you're keeping everyone, all of your members happy, and you're staying safe.
I would echo that. It's expensive to throw a lot of dinner parties if you're really passionate about it, especially in New York City. And it was a similar situation for me when I started Whisk and Ladle. I was throwing dinner parties all the time, and big dinner parties. And it got to a point where I thought, well, maybe I can sort of formalize this in a way that I can afford to keep doing this. Mm-hmm. And
but is there a little thrill in being on the edge of legality for you?
I would say it's more stress than it is thrill. The
thrill
is
definitely more stress.
The thrill is really the cooking.
Yeah.
Yeah. And well, the creativity that goes behind it.
It's a thrill for the diners, though, right?
Right.
I think so.
To be doing something underground.
Absolutely. Everybody who's first time, you know, they come to your house, and depending on where you pick, you know, where you meet them, people come to you. I invite people that I meet out. I recently had some surgery. I invited one of the doctors who cared for me. I was like, oh, he would be a great Sunday night dinner guest, you know. But they get excited.
Kabir,
get excited
in Park Slope. Hi, Kabir.
Hi. I was wondering, how exactly do you keep your clientele diverse with the exclusivity or the membership and all that?
Right. Somebody talked about diversity. Was that you, Danielle?
No, but I can answer the question. I think being that we're based out of New York, which is one of the most diverse cities, it happens naturally. People read about us in various press clippings, and whoever signs up and gets a membership, we've been extremely fortunate that, you know, we're in this melting pot of New York, and whoever's signing up is all colors, all faiths, all sexual orientation.
It happens naturally. You
everything.
Don't have to have any kind of particular outreach.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Advertising in different ethnic media or
No.
Clarice in Astoria, you're on WNYC. Hi, Clarice.
Hi, how are you, Brian?
Good.
And my first comment is, longtime listener, you are the best.
Thank you.
This is an incredible idea. I just love it. And I live in Astoria myself, as he just said.
So, Tamara,
and
this is your hood.
I know. I'm excited.
Exactly. Yeah,
maybe I've seen her on the street.
Right. And yeah, I've been living here for about a year. I actually grew up in Manhattan. And I think Astoria is one of the most diverse neighborhoods in the city. And it's just an incredible place. And I would like to know how what the procedure is to apply. And if you can do things like bring a nice bottle of wine.
Right, and there must be a lot of listeners by now who want in on this, who didn't hear about it before. What should they do, Tamara, starting with you?
For me, they should go to, I have a blog that I'm not allowed to say the name of on the radio. However, it's on the website. But if you want to go to either the WNYC website and click in there, or if you can't find it there, you can go to AstoriaDinnerParty.com.
And we did put links to all three of your clubs on our webpage for today, so people can go to WNYC.org and click on Brian Lehrer Show. We also have a couple of other of these underground dinner clubs linked up there. So anyone want to add to
you
that?
You can just go to the website and shoot us an email, and I guess hope for the best.
Angela, now, calling from Los Angeles, says she did something similar in Italy. Angela?
Yes, actually, I live in Los Angeles, but I'm here in New York.
Oh, okay.
I'm listening to your show for the first time.
Great, hi.
I love it.
Thank you.
It just sounds very similar to me to a program that they have. There's a website. I can't think of the name of it at the moment, but it is a regional sort of home cooking club. where women, grandmothers, professional women, retired women, cook for tourists. And it's a home-cooked meal. It's all regional cooking. It just sounds very similar. It's not exactly underground, but I think it may have even been written up in Gourmet last year. But it's a very similar thing where you can get an interesting home-cooked regional meal by a real Italian woman.
Angela, thanks a lot. Joel in Park Slope, you run one of these too?
That's right.
What's yours called?
It's called Coach Peaches.
Coach Peaches.
Just a little one.
What does that mean?
It's the name of the fictional proprietor. He's equally fond of sports camps and Tuscan family bistros.
Coach Peaches. Okay, thank you very much. That's Coach Peaches, I guess, in Park Slope. We're just about out of time. Do you all have day jobs?
Yes. Yeah.
Yes.
Mine doesn't even know I'm here.
Yeah, you don't look very good, really. You should call in sick.
Yeah.
All right. Nancy from The Whisk and Ladle, based in Williamsburg. Danielle from the New York Bite Club. And Tamara Reynolds, who offers Sunday night dinner in Astoria. This has been really fun and mouth-watering, and I can't go to lunch for another hour. Thanks a lot for coming in. Good luck.
Thank you
very much.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC.